Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Leaders in Supply Chain podcast, Latin America. I am your host, Javier Bazañez, Managing Director for Latin America in Alcott Global. For me, it's a great pleasure today to introduce you to Jose Abascal.
I know Jose from many years ago. He's currently the Asia Pacific Head of Marketing and Commercial Excellence in Petronas for more than 2 years, leading all the marketing in this organization, and for sure already connected with the Formula One. Previously, he was the CEO General Manager at DC Merz in Colombia, and also the Vice President of Marketing and New Business for Americas in Owens, Illinois. Before that part in this organization, he came from Sam Miller with over 6 years of services as a regional VP Innovation for Latam, VP Marketing in Ecuador, and Regional Marketing Director for Latam. He also performed previously as a general manager in Cadbury Adams in Venezuela, and he developed his expertise in marketing through over 10 years in Kraft Foods, leading the region and performing general managing role. And he initiated his career also in marketing in different roles, and also in British American Tobacco, where I met many years ago. We cannot count that. And the marketing area. Welcome again, Jose.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So glad to be here and talking to you and to your audience.
Yes, I said I need to talk to Jose because he has a great, great marketing and general management experience, and also related with the supply chain as a support function for the business in Latin America. Now he is in a world dreaming job in Petronas. But let's start with the initial career of Jose. Let's know, Jose, how was that time in British American Tobacco?
Well, I can tell you that British American Tobacco is a marketing oriented organization. At that time in Venezuela, I'm managing the global brand as Lucky Strike, and being the first experience for me, it was overwhelming having the team Lucky Strike Suzuki at that time, also the Formula One team with Gilles Villeneuve. So I've been in motorsport since the very beginning. But from a marketing perspective, it was also, as mentioned, a learning experience, not only because the focus that they have on developing brand, but at that time, Venezuela was one of the first countries in Latin America to implement the ban in mass media. So we were from having access to all the media to only BTL. And it was a completely different experience since day one, becoming creative on how to connect with your target audience and how to connect to the retailers, and still pushing to deliver the results. So it was part of the biggest transformation I ever experienced in the short-term career. Because at that time, we shift from brand building to a really great marketeers and connecting with all the functions in the organization to assure that the customer was pleased and the brand were present in all over the place.
Yeah, I can imagine that. And also, I remember that time, as you say, this was a big transformation in marketing that led a full transformation in the organization and the different, also the supporting function, the sales team, how they are going to do the sales in the point of sale, the trade marketing, as you said before, and the support of the supply chain with the logistic and material and products, how to meet this new regulation. That's right.
Well, actually, you are bringing a quite interesting point because, as you said, supply chain played a key role in that transformation, because with such a dominant position in the market and understanding our competitors, we were able to change the route to market and the way that we approach the market, and that has been connecting with our strategic value proposition and how we deliver the product and how we produce the product and when. So, as you mentioned, it was 180 degrees transformation.
Yeah, that's definitive. And as I told you, everybody, that, I mean, when you start in marketing and when you start also in development products, this is the initial career of transformation. And also, the supply chain is involved in that area. I mean, the synchronization is going to be excellent. And tell us about the your movement later of Nabisco, of BAT. You moved to Nabisco as a senior marketing manager. How was that transition from cigarettes to cookies and crackers?
Yeah, it was also a quite enlightening experience, because in BAT I was managing only one brand with few SKUs. It's the dream setup from supply chain and the operations, because you don't have much complexity. Mm-hmm. But getting into Nabisco, I was managing at that time four categories. It was cookies, crackers, and candies, and chocolate. And I was managing over 600, 700 SKUs with different channels. So that's when really your capabilities and understanding the world of supply chain, understanding the role of the portfolio, the role of the occasions, and how to capture the occasion with the right packaging and the right portfolio plays a key role. So it was one of the most enlightening experiences, not only because I was able to manage a multi-billion dollar brand and global brand as Oreo or regional jewels that we used to call it as Club Social or Ritz, but also the connectivity with the rest of the organization. I was starting to participate, having an active role in the S&OP meetings on the sales forecast and improving the accuracy. And that brings your negotiation skills with the salespeople, with the trade marketing people, having the right building blocks and making sure that you're able to deliver at the right time. So it was one of the best experiences, and that started my journey not only with Nabisco, but also I was part of the probably one of the most challenging acquisitions, because being in that organization, Kraft bought Nabisco. And to be honest, the acquisition was kind of harsh. Many people leave in the organization, a lot of pressure to deliver the numbers and capture the synergies. So many changes in way of working, but at the end, we have this motto, one company in 1 year, and we accomplished that integration. I was part of the integration. There, I got my first international experience moving to Mexico. I was managing the region, and then I was back in Mexico. We were set up by business unit, and I was managing the confectionery and snack category. So
how was that? That moving to a different country, a different experience, a bigger market, leading that a new business unit for the business?
Well, the first thing is the implication on your life. I was married, I'm still married at this moment, but at that time we had two young daughters, and taking the decision moving there to another country was a lot of debate.
Yeah.
But at the end, it's something that I can share after many, many countries and many, many years, is it has been the most amazing experience, not only for them, but also for us. So we landed in Mexico, completely different culture, same language, but definitely different way of working. And Mexico is a big country. The complexity on delivering there on time and in full, the way that the modern trade and the American heritage modern trade with the Walmart and the Sam's and the big stores create a structure that you have to deal and understanding your revenue management and how you're going to play with a specific portfolio and how to build the brand for the different channels. And that brings the biggest asset that we have as a marketeer. That is the segmentation.
Yeah, and this is very complex also, because as you mentioned, all the different big players and how you deal with the structure of serving them through the setting the right supply chain channel for them. That's right?
Yeah, that's right. In Mexico is where I started to deep dive in in the supply terminology from a different perspective, cross-docking and the drop shipment and the full and that's something that sometimes as a marketeer we don't pay much attention, but
yeah.
if you look at the whole value chain and you understand the impact of mm-hmm. the different route to market model and derivative model, the impact that that can have in the overall cost and how that can compromise your price to the customer and at the end the price to the consumer, we will be paying even more attention.
So
I don't think, and that's something that in the early stages, I think that the organization needs to put more emphasis on understanding from a marketing perspective, understanding the whole value chain.
That's
in
right.
Latest year, with this trend of revenue management or PRGM and understanding the whole value chain and how to enhance your price position in the market, it takes in consideration the overall cost, not only the transformation cost, but the total cost. And yeah, I think that's a big step.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, that is key for that kind of relation when you want to build the right business, the right brands, and you need to think globally in the functions that are supporting how you can move to that. And after you move to a new responsibility as a regional marketing director for a snack in the Andean region, that's right?
Yeah, that was it. At that moment, I finished my job in Mexico, and I came back as a regional business unit director. It was also a general manager position,
exactly.
But now not only looking at the country, but at the region. And
at the region.
That requires different competences, different capabilities when you are in a country. You balance your level of influence with the level of execution, or your strategic with the tactics. But when you are in the region, you have to do that through others. So your guidance is elevated, and you need to execute and get the results through the local teams, and always keeping that good balance between the best of the regional team and the best of the local team. It's key to deliver the results.
Yeah, no, and definitely, as you said, when you need to do these things through others, this is when the leadership is coming out, how you lead the team, how you promote the synergies that you need for getting the results, placing the processes that you need, and pushing all people with different cultures. So this is what the leadership means. That's right?
That's correct. And I think Kraft did a big effort at that time with all the I would say senior leaders. We were embarking this transformation through competences. So we were working with Lominger at that time that has been acquired by Conferry. But at that time we were developing the competences by the level of proficiency that we have in the organization as individual contributor, middle management, vice president, regional. And everybody knew right away their role and what the competences required to perform at the highest level. So there was, I would say, not big overlapping, but it was clear what was the role of each function, each level of the organization, and that helps a lot. And if you ask me, one of the biggest thing that happened at that moment in Kraft, it was the creation of an innovation process called I2M, Ideas to Market. And it was a joint effort with supply chain, R&D, and marketing to really look at the business case of a specific product launch from all the possible angles. So when we were ready to launch, we were not asking questions to the different teams. The questions were already there and answer lies. So I will say that that's why I'm so pleased with Kraft Foods and Nabisco and later on with Cadbury, because even it has been two major acquisitions, we kept a line of connection along the way.
Yeah, no, definitely. This is very important, as you said, doing that kind of mapping, the right, which skill, hard, soft skill do you need for the team, the competences, and doing the to the level of the job description is the, when you are able to deploy the strategy as you want, as an execution plan, doing the right things when you need it, no? Definitely.
You are totally right. Totally right. And the job description is not just a paper in the human resources drawers. It's a living document, and we have to revisit them over time and look what's still valid, what needs to be changed, and how the competences are evolving over time. I think we cannot wait for the human resources to come back to us and say, hey, you should be looking at your job description. It's our responsibility, because I will say that looking at my career, I can say that 80% of my career was still on my hands. It's not in anybody else's hands.
That's right. That's right. Definitely, that is right. And if it's an obligated question that I need to ask you, how it was to work with a famous brand, the Oreo famous brand, that everybody knows, this single small chocolate cookie that everybody enjoys.
Oh, still an Oreo ambassador, you know. It's a brand that is embedded in my heart. I don't know how many Oreos I have eaten in my life, but I can tell you that many, many of them. I have the best memories with this brand last year.
Uh-huh.
This year, it was 20th anniversary of one of the best advertising we found in Venezuela. It's called Triplets. It's three girls, twin girls, or triples. And they posted 20 years later, and they replicate the advertising 20 years later. The promotion that still remembers, like the old team, the contest on the audio ritual with the twist, lick and dunk, the partner with milk all over the places with the campaign, the favorite partner, and there was a glass of milk and all the letters that we received from mothers saying, now my kids are drinking milk because I can give you two Oreos to do that. So
many
stories. Still today, when I see the advertising, I became sentimental and emotional. Here in Asia, when I see the Chinese advertising and I see the thing that they are doing in Oreo, it's great to see.
Definitely.
I was part of it.
Of that history. That's right. No, I can imagine. That's a great campaign, great product, and the people love it, no? And create a tradition on how to eat that cookie and drinking milk. That's great.
Indeed.
And after that, you moved to Cadbury Adams as a general manager in Venezuela. How was that transition?
That's a funny story. It's really a funny story, because Cadbury Adams in Venezuela, just to give you a glimpse, it's one building next to the other. So in one building, it was Nabisco, and the next building, it was Cadbury. So I was in the interview process, and I got the job, and I resigned the organization. Remember, I'm sure you remember Ronald de Reuter was the head of Kraft, and I resigned to him in BAT. I resigned to him in Kraft, and then I joined Cadbury. And I joined and I was looking at, or have continuous contact and seeing my old colleagues from Kraft.
Yeah.
2 months later, I joined. Irene Rosenfeld said, the CEO of Kraft Foods at that time said, I'm going to buy Cadbury Adams.
Oh, my goodness.
So I came back to Kraft Foods at that time. Yeah, to Kraft. Reporting again to Ronald de Reuter, leading the integration and another great experience, and I value that they took me back, because Others will say, no, you already left, so we don't want you. But they were kind open. Enough to take me back and also give me a really nice position, which was the regional marketing director for the other side of the business. It was fully related to craft, but completely different portfolio. So, but
that's very, very, very interesting.
Long story short, I resigned again to Ronald, and Ronald said, "You have something against me. You resigned to me. Resigned three times.
Twice.
We're still in contact. We are good friends, but that's the true story. I resigned three times to the same person."
Yeah, wow, that's incredible. I meet also Ronald when he was in Mondelez in UAE.
Yes.
And we got dinner together, reminding all that time. This is a great guy.
great guy.
Wow. And after that, so definitely you moved to the beer business with Stad Miller. That is very interesting.
Yes, yeah.
Business, industry, and also in marketing. And also, again, all the supply chain supporting, because you, in this business, the final mile is very, very important, no, in the distribution.
The final mile, and when I was exposed to returnability system and calculations on how many bottles we are going to get this month to produce, it's quite complicated supply chain, but really, really rewarding. And yes, I moved to Colombia at that time. ACB Miller, the only global approach that they have at that moment was the Miller portion, which was a JV with MillerCoors.
Mm-hmm.
But South African brewers, they came to Latin America and some other part of the world, buying local companies and keeping them operating as is until they say, okay, we want to become now global, start capturing synergies, building global brands, and that's why I landed there. So I have multiple roles, from drafting the strategy as a marketing director and for LATAM, and creating this portfolio strategy with the global brands and the local brands, the premiumization strategy, developing the premium brand, enhancing packaging. So it was quite a funny job. And then moving to Ecuador to turn around the business, because we were losing market share against our competitors, and I spent 3 years there. In that organization, I wore many, many hats.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was specifically on supply chain and managing the last mile delivery, as you said. It's funny, in Ecuador, people were holding crates because we were not able the demand. So the only way to get beer was trading the empty crate by a new crate. If you don't have a crate, you cannot get the beer.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Very interesting.
It's interesting. And then I was in also a dream job, because I was managing all the national football teams, the local teams. And one of the brands, the most important brand there, is turning 100 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a promotion that was called the Match of the Century. And we brought the Spain national team after they won the World Cup. So it was a one game only, Ecuador against Spain in Ecuador. One of the most beautiful experience that I have in sponsorships.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And also that this is incredible, when you need to work with the logistic and moving all that kind of people together, it's not easy.
Not easy, because maybe people or our friends have listened to me and they say, well, but where are the results? I mean, this guy has been spending money in all those. Believe me that every single activity that I made in my career was calculating the return of investment, the efficiencies, and the dollars per liter invested. And that promotion was paid with a specific plan that we developed for that brand. So at that time, it cost me, I think it was $2.5 or $3 million, but everything has been paid through incremental volume.
Wow, that's just what we are looking for when in the marketing and the business is doing it. A big investment in the advertising
and activities like that. No, okay, definitely, you get the result through the market share and volume that you sell. That's right. And also later you come to an innovation role for LATAM. Very interesting. How was that? That in that innovation and marketing, and when you need to develop new products, and which is also the relation with the supply chain, because the innovation, when you want to make a new business or make a new product, I mean, supply chain have to be there for helping how you move that to the customer. That's right.
Yeah, that's correct. And this is where the quote, careful what you wish, comes to play. Because mm-hmm. when I joined ACB Miller in Latin America, I was telling my boss, coming from craft in which we have the ideas to market process, the I2M, mm-hmm. he asked me after 90 days or 100 days being there, hey, Jose, from your point of view, what is the thing that we are missing? And I said to him, maybe an innovation center, because all the countries are working on innovation, and maybe the overlapping and the synergies, and there are two countries working in the same project and they are not sharing the information, is something that we should do. And he said, oh, why don't you prepare a presentation to the R&D, to the regional marketing director? Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, I will do it. I build the presentation with the investment and everything. And the only available space for that meeting was on a Thursday lunchtime. So it was a working lunch. And I asked the assistant, the R&D assistant, what he likes, because I'm new to the organization. And she said, he likes these burgers, this specific chain in Colombia. So I asked for the burgers, and I placed the burger there, and I delivered the presentation. And when I finished, the guy looked at me, and he said these exact words: the only good thing about this presentation is the burger. And I was looking at my boss, and I said, what is going on? So I went to Ecuador, and 4 years later, I was presenting to him and to the CEO. And at the end of the presentation, he came to me and he said, we're going to go to the dinner. Please, I want you to go to in the car with the CEO. You know, when you have a CEO visit, you know where everybody's going to be sitting. You know where is your table at the restaurant. You know where is your place in your car. And suddenly, I have to go from the plant or from the office to the restaurant with the CEO. And I sit in the car, and the CEO look at me, and Carr told me that 4 years ago you made a presentation about the innovation center. And I said, yes, I remember, not a nice experience, but yes. He told me that was a great presentation. Can you share with me your elevator pitch in innovation? And on top of my head, I said, the elevator pitch. I think we can leverage on the synergies. We can have a better connection with the plant. We can have a dedicated team of R&D and supply. And he said, okay, I want you to build that for the globe and specifically for LATAM.
Uh-huh.
And I came down the car and I talked to the R&D and I said, remember what I said to you four years ago? Now the CEO is asking me to implement it. What do you think? And he responds to me, you were ahead of time.
That's fine.
Yes. So I built the innovation center. It was amazing experience because we took over 25 countries, regional and global. We connected. At that time, it was only the Cisco connectivity for the telepresence. It was not that developed as today. Mm-hmm. But we were able to articulate a center of excellence with the R&D, with supply chain. And when we were talking about Pony Malta, which is not a beer category, but it's related, quite popular in some part of the world, and we were talking about the development, we already evaluate the whole value chain. There were inputs from all the touch points, from packaging, from crate, from loading, from picking, from truck, type of truck, overall cost cost of ownership, inventory levels required to deliver, how we're going to get there. So the full set, and we were accountable for that product for 18 months. And after that, we transfer the full case to the country. So it was like a full empowered organization.
Great.
We were called the Game Changers, and we delivered a thing. It was over 40 projects, and three or four of them major breakthrough in the category. I remember one of them was the zero calories and zero alcohol, because at that moment there was already challenges from the government on the drink and drive and the alcohol level. So we developed that for all the countries.
No, very, very, very interesting time for sure. Because it's just working in innovation and working, as you say, that with the full product from source to soul or to the customer, through all the chain, designing everything and getting clear with the addition of the cost part of every single part of the chain, and how we do the final delivery cost and making it profitable. That is the way to do innovation. So this is why I'm telling everybody, I mean, supply chain is not a supporting function. It's a function that is in the business helping to make profitable the organization together with the rest of the different functions inside the organization. Definitely, no?
Totally agree.
And after that experience in St. Miller, you moved to Owens, Illinois, in North America. That's very interesting movement. Tell us about
it. It was not planned, to be honest, when I worked on ACB Miller and like innovation. I started visiting my key partner, business partner. And one of them, obviously, it's Owens, Illinois, because of the glass bottle in the the industry. It's relevant. So I went to Perrysburg, Ohio, and I was having the conversation with the CMO at that time. And he openly said to me, you know what, Jose, I would love to have a person like you in my team. Wow. And it started like a joke, end up with a formal proposal in terms of the offer. And at that time also, ACB Miller was in the rumor of the acquisition of ABI, and my daughter was moving to the U.S. So for me, it was influenced by the personal decision.
Personal decision.
It was more on the personal side than in the professional side. If my daughter was not moving to university in U.S., I will probably continue to see what happened with ACB Miller. I spent only 18 months because I live also in a restructuring process that they have. That organization was combining the two regions, and it was overwhelming. So there are companies that do, you have fit, and there are some others that you don't have the full fit.
Yeah, coming. Definitely.
It was a learning experience, but at the end, I say, well, enough is enough. This is not working for me. It's not working for them. So I end up leaving the organization. They took the decision to invite me to leave the organization. I'm not ashamed of that because you have to be humble enough to reflect on what happened. But I took the opportunity to say, okay, I've been in the corporate world so long, and I've been in many countries. Maybe it's time for me to settle. At that time, we went back to Colombia because the conditions in Venezuela was not that good. Yeah, so we went to Colombia, and I did a consultancy.
Exactly. This is what I saw, that you started in the consultation business, and also you create also a new business with this Hermes. That's right.
Well, it's a funny story because during that consultancy, one of my clients was this Hermes.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I made a mistake as a new consultant. I figured it out later, but I drafted the whole plan for them. And I said, this is what you need to do to transform the organization. The organization was almost broke. And I said, from a finance perspective, this is what you need to do. They were managing beautiful brands like Carrier, the whole portfolio of wines from Argentina, from Italy. Beautiful portfolio, but they have a management issue. So I said, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. I said the digital strategy with the brands. I said the business transformation. And when I presented to the board was happy. And that day, that exact day, they said to me, Jose, we have a question. Who's going to be doing this? And I said, well, that's always the best answer that you can ask a consultant, because yeah. we don't have the answer. We give you the solutions, but we don't have the answer of how to implement it, to get into the skin and doing it. I can trust it. And they said, you know what? Why don't you can still with your business, but why don't you take the CEO role and you lead this implementation?
Wow.
And I went back home and I said, okay, this is quite unusual. It's a sign. I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
I had a chat with my wife and she said, oh, you're going to be enjoying this and it's going to be growth for you because it's a completely business transformation, financial transformation, and an organization that is on chapter taken yeah. out of the chapter 11. So I started the journey and it was amazing. I mean, working with the different houses, with the team, it was quite the challenge. We were doing fantastic. We were getting into the break-even point rapidly, and the COVID hit. Yes, imagine holding or sustaining an organization that depends on the on-premise channel, the clubs, the restaurants, the disco, and so on, and not able to sell.
Yeah.
Because at that moment, we were not able to sell. So also, that gave me the opportunity to operate under challenging, really challenging circumstances. Because one thing is the business challenges, and the other thing is challenges, circumstances, and
yeah,
protecting.
That's right.
My biggest aim was to protect the income of everybody, that at least I can sustain the organization.
That's
and
right.
we developed e-commerce, we developed with my experience on digital marketing, we developed different channels, and I can proudly say that the organization is still alive. It's performing quite well. It went out to the chapter 11, still managing big brands like Remy Martin, Perrier, and sparkling wine. And they span even the portfolio with the American brand as Four Loko. So we did an amazing job. And when I decided that I was getting into Petronas, I said to the board, I'm going to be doing soft transition. Let's find the person. I'm going to be involved in the recruiting process. I'm going to be doing the handover with him. And in 6 months, I will leave the organization.
Yeah. Oh, great, great. So this is when you say the facing the issues or the blockers or changing the condition of the market. Some leaders used to say, okay, we cannot do that. And you try to close the doors, that's right. But this is when, in that difficult time, is when the innovation and the ideas came on place, no? And as you mentioned, open the digital business. So that is important when you stay in a transition like that, having the idea or the focus just to say, okay, we need to think laterally and do a different business or different channel, but just rebumping the business. So that going through the digital in that time for sure was the great idea to support the business. That's right. And after
indeed.
That, indeed. So, and after that, you moved to Kuala Lumpur, quite far away from Latin America. So how was that decision? And you are now 2 years already there. So tell us about it.
Well, my life is full of funny stories. The original position was in Brazil.
Oh, my
goodness. So when I was telling you that I did this handover with the new general manager, Lizermex, it was meant to be in Brazil. Mm-hmm. But Brazil at that time, the COVID hit hard. And I said to Petronas, I'm not moving to Brazil, at least right now. And they say, okay, we understand, but let's keep talking with the position. And 3 months later, they call me and say, oh, the position is on hold. We don't know what's going to happen. And I say, okay, I left Desermex and I'm in the middle of the COVID with basically no job.
Yeah.
And they call me and they say, Jose, we are reactivating the position. But you know what? It's a bit far from when you think. Now it's in KL. It's in Kuala Lumpur. Do you have any problem? And I put the phone on hold and I look at my wife and my daughter and I said, it's not Sao Paulo, it's Kuala Lumpur. And both of them look at me and they say, wherever you go, we go with you.
We go together.
And I took the phone back and I said, yes, I'll be moving.
Okay.
And that's how I landed in Kuala Lumpur. It was one of the hardest landed ever. We were in Bogota. There's no Malaysia embassy in
Colombia.
So we flew to New York just to wait for the embassy of Malaysia to call us and stamp the visa in the passport. We were there 3 weeks. The good thing is we got our vaccines there, Pfizer. So the day day we left to Kuala Lumpur, we got the vaccine. And we arrived in Kuala Lumpur, there was only 5 people in the plane from New York to Qatar. 5 people in the plane, 3 of them were my wife, my daughter, and myself. And from Qatar to Kuala Lumpur, only 3 people, and it was
incredible.
Only us. I mean,
they were incredible. Moving in the middle of the pandemic that was very, very critical. I remember that.
And we landed in the Kuala Lumpur airport. They gave us these white suits with the mask, like we're in quarantine. And they took us straight to immigration. And from immigration to a car, and from a car to a hotel for 21 days quarantine. The three of us living in one room. And the only different thing that I got was a backpack with my corporate computer.
Yes.
And the first day I opened the computer and it was a meeting with my boss who said, welcome to Kuala Lumpur. I'm going to introduce you to the team. Everybody was working from home. So for 6 months, I was not able to meet physically anybody in Petronas organization. Anybody.
My goodness.
So, but my daughter has been going to school in Kuala Lumpur, and we were sharing the internet. I have 2 dogs, and the 2 dogs were still in Colombia. So the level of the stress that we had at that moment was at the highest level. But now looking back, it's another story. It's a funny story. As a family, we manage well. We support each other and we respect our spaces. And I'm grateful to have the family that I have, and they have been supporting me in every single movement. They have been holding my back.
Yeah, no, that is a great history and a great support when your family, you are together. Supporting and giving you focus in the needs that you need to do, no? For sure, that has been a quite interesting experience this year, leading the sponsorship of F1 and all the logistics of the F1. Also, again, the supply chain logistics supporting, because for sure today, the logistics support for the F1 is totally different to the initial years that you live in British American Tobacco, no?
Yes, indeed. And if you want to get into the skin of that logistic in Formula One, there is a documentary in the YouTube that is by DHL.
Uh-huh.
And it's called The Logistic Behind the F1.
That's right.
It's amazing, amazing documentary. I have to say that people, when I said or I post pictures of being in one of the F1 tracks or one of the drivers, they say, oh, that's amazing. I would love to have your job. And I said, come again, because what you see is not what you get. it's quite demanding. Normally when we are there, it's because we are with the customers and we have a full agenda that starts at 5 a.m. and ends at 3 a.m. the next day, and we can only rest 1 hour. Many people, many stakeholders, many people involved, but it's rewarding, and the good thing is I have a fantastic team behind me, and they can fly solo and do this. The other beautiful thing about this role is the diversity that I'm exposed to from India and their cultural belief and their religion. Yeah. To China with the gigantic approach and all the electrical vehicle transformation, and to countries like Bangladesh, in which you it's a completely different setup, Vietnam, Philippines, and
that's
Malaysia.
Right.
So here the saying, the one size fits all, it doesn't apply, and you have to rely on the flexibility and adaptability from supply chain to delivery, having the right segmented value proposition and the clarity to tell a customer your delivery is going to be in 3 months or 2 months or 1 day, and this is how we're going to track the implication on the overall system to produce. It's quite remarkable, all the learning.
Yeah,
so
it
for me, it has been an experience that even when I said, oh, I done this before and it's going to be easy, I cannot overestimate the value of the new learnings and the new transformation that as a person and as a professional I'm having, and how I'm impacting the organization.
Definitely, that is key. And, you know, and this is what we need to have in perspective, that all the time you need to change, which is the environmental, which are the skills, which are the resources, and learn also new things from that cultures and processes that will help you to lead the organization to the point that you want, no?
Well,
no,
that, yeah, actually, Xavier, that's one of the most profound things that I incorporate in my life, is this ability to unlearn, to relearn, not only on my career and my aspirations and my perspective and the value that I can bring to the organization, but people sometimes is drowning in the technical evolution and digital evolution. And
exactly.
I even said to my team, don't let the digital drive you. You
exactly.
Drive the digital transformation. We are not going to be catching up. We are going to be lagging behind. But the important is not to identify how big is the gap versus the uptrend. It's the gap to the market, the gap to your competitors, and identifying that and closing as fast as you can, and also identifying in which one you can be on top of the game.
Yeah, that's critical. And that's how you say you need to lead on that. And this definitely all this experience and exposition, I mean, have given you all a way of skills and tools to make the business, no? So which skill do you consider the most important for leading a business in through the all experience that you have been exposed
to? Oh, well, this is going to sound cheesy, but I think that the flexibility and adaptability to the different challenges is one of the key ones that I've seen, that having that ability to be chameleonic and transform yourself to the different challenges. Obviously, there are the competences, leadership competences, the proactive approach, the ability to deliver what you promise, the ability that being comfortable around senior people is different presenting than being around to senior people. Having that ability to be concise, to be specific in what the organization needs to have. Being a player, this is not get all at all. Being a team player, it's what makes all the difference from my side. And there is another one that I always bring in my mind, that it's don't lose your originality and the sense of humor. Working without enjoying, it's really hard. So enjoy trying to not to convey that you are in a 9-to-5 job. To be honest, I don't track if my team is at the office or not. I don't track if they are 9-to-5 or they are getting early or going late. I don't. We have this agreement that we are there for delivering the results. And the way that we do it, if they do it in 1 hour or in 10 days, if they are not compromising the results, I really don't care.
That's very important. That's very important. And which could be your final recommendation? Have been a great conversation today with you. Really, I enjoy it. And I will like your final recommendation for young professionals for their careers in the industry. What you can say?
I have two or three recommendations for them. The first one is be passionate on what you do. Really be passionate. If you are not feeling that passion, you are in the wrong place. And you can always be elsewhere and join even more. That for me is one of the key recommendations. The other one is avoid to be clusterized. People tend to graduate from school and say, now I have to do a master's degree because they are requiring a master's degree. That's not true. I mean, we have hire people with our master's degree and we don't want them to have a master's degree. We want them to build competences on the job. There are this trend that everybody needs to have a master's degree, but I really don't value that. So I'd rather prefer to have people with a strong background and business acumen, that theoretical acumen. And the final one is be competitive. If you can learn one thing every day, you will be ahead of your competition. Your competition is sitting next to you, is your partner, is your friend, but you are in the same career path many of your friends. So be on top of the game. Invest some time on you, on learning experience. The LinkedIn platform, most of the headhunters, they do have a learning platform. And today, being on top of the game is easier than ever before. So
that's
spend
right.
time on you, on building those competences, on building things like how to deliver a great presentation. Do not overestimate. Many of the decisions in the corporate world are made on the good or bad presentation.
That's
you have
right.
only that opportunity to shine. So don't waste that time and invest on yourself.
Yeah, invest in yourself and also learn the storytelling, that kind of thing. That's critical. I think fully agree with you. The first thing has to be passionate and building the right competence for the job. This is what you need and be competitive and learn every day. We need to be humble and we are learning every day. Now that has been a great conversation, Jose. I really appreciate your time for joining us in this podcast.
I really appreciate that you invite me to this one. Available for any other time. I would love to talk to your audience and have a close conversation if that can be the case. But this time, thank you very much for inviting me. It has been a pleasure for me being here today.
Thank you, Jose. And thanks, everybody, for listening to our podcast. If you like what you hear, you must go to www.accordglobal.com and click on the button of the podcast to see all the programs and notes. You can also subscribe to the mailing list to receive all the updates and news. You can share with your friends and also follow us on LinkedIn. And if you are looking to hire senior CEO, GM, supply chain executive in Latin, US, Spain, or worldwide, just let us know in Alcott Global. Thank you for listening.